Morning, guys. I think we had a good walkthrough this morning. Guys really seem to be focused on the task at hand, you know, preparing for the Washington Redskins. We think they're a good football team, and they've got a lot of talented players on their team, and we're going to have to play a real good football game on the road to be successful, which is hard to do in our league. It's hard to win on the road. We understand, you know, what it takes to win on the road, so our preparation really has to be on point. Because we understand that every team in the league, you know, wants to win at home for a lot of reasons. From a practice standpoint, we're going to hold Adrian from practice today. His ankle's still a little bit sore, so we're going to hold him. Jerome, we found a little bit more regarding his leg. It's more attributed to something that's going on with his back, so we're going to hold him this afternoon. We don't think it's anything long-term. We just want him to continue to go through some of the exercises that Eric Sugarman and his staff will take him through today, and we may get him back at practice tomorrow and hopefully for sure on Friday, but he may be back tomorrow. So the good news is there's no surgery required, anything like that. Should be fine over time. Kevin Williams had a stomach virus, so you won't see him at practice either. We're going to hold him out, and he should be hopefully fine tomorrow. We think it's just a 24-hour virus, but we'll see. Other than that, everybody else should be out working and preparing for this ball game. So,
you think Simpson will be able to play on Sunday?
Yeah, all indications are it's a very good chance, and we'll know more how he responds to some of the treatment they give him today. Hopefully, we'll get him back out at practice tomorrow, but we don't think it's anything long-term at all.
You mentioned some numbness. Is that maybe like a pinched nerve or something going on in the back? Or?
Yeah, I mean, everything they told me is just something attributed to something going on in his back. So they're taking him through some different exercises too. But he's improved. That's the good news. He's much better than he was on Sunday. He went through the walkthrough fine. But this is more cautionary just to give him another day of rest and recuperation. Then we'll get him back out here hopefully tomorrow.
Coach, who's had the greatest influence on you as a head coach? Was it Mike Ditka? Was it Tony Dungy? Or was it Brad Childress?
Man, you know, Larry, I've been around a lot of good head coaches. My college coach, who I have a ton of respect for, Marino Chasm down at Alcorn, had a big influence on me. My head coach, Mike Ditka, it's funny you say that. I was thinking about him Saturday night before our game and how much he's influenced me and what I do now. And I said, I got to call Coach Ditka. I haven't talked to him in a while, but he had a tremendous influence on me. Buddy Ryan, my defensive coordinator. Neil Armstrong, who was the former coordinator here in Minnesota, who became my first head coach in the NFL. Andy Reid, I mean, there have been a number of coaches, Tony Dungy, that I try to draw from and you know, try to utilize some of the things I learned from each one of them and try to incorporate into some of the things I do without losing my personality and who I am. But I've been around a lot of great coaches. Talked with another coach I respect a lot and I draw upon at times, Coach Parcells last week. Just talked with him a little bit about some things. A lot of coaches I try to draw from and who had an influence on me.
In the limited time that Jerome has been able to play, what sort of an impact has he had on your offense and even opposing defenses and how they approach you?
Well, you saw in that Detroit game the impact he had when he got single coverage. He's a tough guy to defend. And even when you have pretty good coverage like that last play where he caught the 27-yarder, his athletic ability sometimes overrides good coverage. So you need a guy like that who can make that difficult catch, even though he may seem to be covered, which creates some doubt in defensive coordinators' mind about whether or not to be eight-man front or to stay too high with their safeties. And of late, we've been in a lot of single-high safety. So one of the reasons Percy was able to get down the sideline in that game on Sunday was they chose to play single high. He was able to get behind the guy and make a great play for us. But Jerome will hopefully help us to be able to get more two high safeties than what we're currently getting. And so we look forward to having him back full speed.
How important was it to have Percy run that route at least once and just plant the seed of doubt when you're running all those bubble screens over there?
It's a big deal because now all of a sudden people can't just sit down and say, okay, he's not going to, you know, do anything deep or they're not going to throw it to him deep. We've had other routes where we've sent him deep, but usually there are so many people around him, you can't get what you want. But it really will hopefully help us going forward as we are trying to do more things down the field.
With Jerome, is there a feeling like if you play him on Sunday, there isn't really that risk of doing any further damage. It's just, you know, he needs to work through it.
Probably, Tim, you know, I have to see how he does tomorrow and what the doctors tell me. We're expecting that he'll be able to get some work tomorrow, so I have to wait and hear what they have to say about, you know, any further recurrences. But everything I've heard to this point, he's much improved, shouldn't be any long-term effects. So I don't think we make a decision based on whether or not there are any future problems. It sounds like he's headed in the right direction, so we can clearly say, you know, that's behind him.
Was this anything that happened in a game, or was it just literally something, maybe he slept on it wrong, woke up? You mentioned he woke up Sunday having the numbness.
That's exactly what happened. He woke up on Sunday. It was nothing the night before or 2 days before, the day of the game. He just, you know, called our trainer and came over to the stadium, and that's where it was discovered.
You saw on tape, how did he fare in the 20-odd snaps that he played in that game?
He did okay, but it was bothering him from a mental standpoint. You know, he couldn't really do some things he wanted to do, and it, you know, really affected him from that standpoint. But physically, he was able to, you know, give us some plays, but not the type of plays that he would be proud of or be happy with. So in the limited time, the good thing is we've got some time between now and Sunday where he'll have a chance to continue to improve.
Coach, the fact that you're 4-1 and in first place and you're out-rushing your opponents by almost a 2-1 margin and you're stopping people, is that sort of your signature for the way you're getting it done?
Well, that's exactly what we want to be able to do, Larry. When we talked to our team, you know, prior to the season beginning, even back in the off season, about what we wanted our identity to be, and we wanted to be clear on how we wanted to win and what we thought was necessary for us to win here in Minnesota. And we talked about being able to run the football, being able to stop the run, being able to hit some explosive plays in the passing game when people give us those 8 and 9 man fronts, having a quarterback who can execute in those situations, and not giving up, you know, plays over the top of your defense from a secondary standpoint, along with our pass rush, and then playing sound special teams where we are, you know, being a smart, disciplined, tough football team. So those were things that we talked about. It's great to see our guys executing and doing the things they're doing, and our coaches carrying the message, along with our leadership carrying the message, and so far so good.
Yes, did you notice any hesitation at all in Christian after he threw those two interceptions, and then for him to come back and do what he did after that, you know, how much value do you put in that as far as his development?
Mark, I think it's a great sign for us of his maturity. In the past, those two interceptions, you know, I just think back to a year ago where I would have had to come over, hey, come on, Christian, let's go, get your head up. You know, you got to go back out there. But wasn't necessary. I mean, he handled it the way you need the quarterback of your team, one of the leaders of your team, to handle it. He went down, went over to the bench, took a look at the pitches, talked it through with the coaches, came right back out, had no ill effects from it. Well, I think he ended up going 12 for 13 the rest of the way. So that's a great sign for our players because they looked at him. I mean, his body language, his approach in the huddle afterwards, I mean, it was so good for us going forward.
You go back out to Washington where you got your first win and obviously got a big one last year. Does going out there hold any extra significance for you at all?
Not really. It's another game on our schedule. It has no significance other than the fact that it's the next game on our schedule.
RG3 is a different type of quarterback than what you faced this year. How are you prepared for that, and what exactly, what dynamics does he bring that your other quarterbacks that you faced had?
You're right, Brian. It's a different dynamic. I mean, they introduced option. You know, we haven't had to prepare for option football at all this season. And all of a sudden, we're watching tape Monday and Tuesday of a quarterback that presents not only a threat throwing the football, but getting on the perimeter of your defense and being able to pitch the ball or keep it for big plays. And I think he has over 200 yards rushing already, you know, 30 over 30 some attempts. So it creates some other issues we haven't faced over the course of this season. And it forces you as a defense to be very disciplined about what you're doing, and you have to tackle well. But it's a little bit different if for some reason he didn't start and one of the other two guys did, Cousins or Rex Grossman. I mean, that's part of the equation you don't have to deal with. But he's a multi-threat quarterback, RG3, that creates a lot of problems for defenses because they do some things that you don't ordinarily see at our level.
Still early in the week, but all indications are he's going to practice. Are you pretty much prepared for him?
Yeah, that's what we talked to our team about today. We expect him to start, and that's what we want them to watch tape on and prepare for him to start. That's what we're expecting.
Are they a typical NFC East type team other than RG3, I mean, they're plus 7 on the turnover ratio.
Yeah, and they're running the ball very well. I mean, they're scoring a lot of points. I think they're 7th in the league on offense. So, and they're playing pretty good run defense, very good run defense. You know, the passing yards, you know, that's a little bit different for them. But they are a lot of ways, like most of the NFC East teams, and they're doing a good job in a lot of good areas. I mean, we know that we're going to have to play extremely well to have a chance to win on Sunday.
You guys have obviously had good success with the short passing game, but how much have you seen that impact defenses as far as coming up to defend that more and more and opportunities presenting themselves deep?
Yeah, you know, people are beginning to try to sit on some routes and bringing people close to the line of scrimmage, which allows us to sometimes get some things completed at the second level. I mean, we saw Devin Roche-Madu and Michael come up with some big plays behind the linebackers in our game on Sunday. And that's what it opens up, along with the play that we got with Percy down the sideline. So it opens up some opportunities when that happens, and then it's a matter of our being able to execute the plays when it occurs. So we understand what people are doing. Now it's a matter of our being able to counter some of the things that they're doing.
Well, if Jerome can't play, I mean, who do you lean on primarily? I mean, obviously Percy, but who, if he can't play, who do you, like, plug into his role and say, like, if you have a big – obviously you're not going to give the second guy the big package that you would give him, but right. Who steps into that role?
Well, you kind of go back to, you know, what we did prior to his being available for us in those first three ball games. You count on Devin. You count on Michael to be able to make some plays. You hope that Steven will be able to make some plays for us. And eventually, you know, we'll get Jenkins Jarius up as well. But right now, I mean, the guys that we have that would play if something were to happen where Jerome was not able to play would be the same guys that played in those first three games. And they'd be the ones that would have to make plays. But we got, you know, some playmakers on offense between Kyle and John and Adrian and, of course, Percy. We have some playmakers, and Toby can make plays. So,
with Jarius, is his continuing being active? How much of that is, if anything, with the ankle at this point? How much is just him needing to develop, and how much is the fact Percy's taking so many snaps at flanker?
Yeah, he's healthy. It's just a decision we made, and eventually, you know, his turn will come, but nothing to do with his health. He's doing a good job in practice. Just have to continue to work, and, you know, his time will eventually come.
Time for two more. Through the scouting process this year, how much did you sit down with RG3 and get to know him at all during the draft process?
You know, we didn't – I never sat down with him. I don't know if our scouts did. I can't even remember if we sent anyone down. I think we did send – we had our scouts at his workout, but I think it was pretty much concluded before the draft, you know, where he was going. So – our scouts did their work, but I think we canceled our trip with the coaches as far as going down there, just the scouts to handle it. So,
as you look at the body of work for your offensive line through five games here, what stands out to you about that group?
I like how they're working together collectively. That is what you need as a unit to be effective on the offensive line, and those guys are helping one another. I can see Matt, you know, working with Charlie and Charlie helping him, and then I see what John is doing with Brandon, who's a young guy who's, you know, early in his career, and helping him, and then Phil is much more consistent. So you get each guy playing a little bit better, and what it has created is a solid offensive line. They are doing a very good job of communicating. I see them at practice in between talking to one another about, you know, how we have to combo block, what we have to do from a technique standpoint. I mean, it's a good chemistry on our offensive line right now, and it's showing up on the field.
How does that manifest itself with Phil being more consistent over there at right tackle?
I think what it's done is created more confidence along the line with other players, knowing that he's going to be consistently good as opposed to being good for two plays and, you know, not where you want to be another couple of plays. And then that raises everybody else's confidence along the line that, hey, you know what, Phil is, he's on top of it.